Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest this hour is Pat Snyder. She is the syndicated columnist for the Suburban News papers and also author of The Dog Ate My Planner. She writes a blog. All that stuff is links to all of that is posted on our website at WOSU.org/all sides. But right now, without further ado, I want to welcome Pat Snyder back to the show.
Thank you for having me. I always love to come and talk with you. And the holidays are such a great topic.
So much fun to talk about the holidays. It's such a joyous season. We have these frozen smiles on our face. Actually, it is a lot of fun if you approach it the right way.
Correct.
And you were telling me that there is some new research out there about happiness.
Yeah, there is, related both to money and to time. And I thought it's really refreshing to know that science tells us some things that we kind of suspected before. But it's good to have data from people like Harvard and UPenn who have really looked into this. And one of the things that they say talking about money is that it's more important for happiness to buy experience than things, to maybe give a gift of experience going out doing something with someone as opposed to a regular gift. And if you buy a regular gift, then something small brings the happiness more likely than something that's huge. So for those of us who listened to the Gadget Man last week talk about those wonderful things that are available and thought, oh, I can't afford that, there are other options. Small gifts, thoughtful gifts, things that we give frequently.
You know, there are gadgets like that. I think of gadgets, sometimes we get confused. In some ways, I think of gadgets as those fun little things that you talk about in one of your blogs that I want to get at in a little while. Those were more like down payments on homes that we were talking about on the air last week.
Yes.
And, you know, gadgets can be that crazy little wind-up thing.
Yes, they can. And not the as seen on TV toys, for example.
Which you wrote about. Which I did want to ask you about the neck slimmer, by the way.
I haven't tried it yet. I'm terribly afraid now someone will give it to me and I'll feel compelled to use it.
And you will, of course, because, you know, someone gave you it.
Of course. Or at least I'll say it did. Thank you so much. The other thing that happiness research shows is that helping others or buying things for others instead of for ourselves brings more happiness, something our mothers probably always taught us, but research actually shows that. Also, on time, spending time with the right people who really energize you, and that might be family or not, but kind of monitoring how you're spending your time and who you're spending it with during stressful times really can help. And also doing the right activities, things that you truly love. And I think one way to figure that out is to look back on what's really given us joy in the holidays before.
614-292-8513 if you'd like to join our conversation with Pat Snyder, Suburban News Papers syndicated columnist. She's also author of The Dog Ate My Planner, and she has a blog and all kinds of things. We're going to talk about more of that as the hour progresses, and we'd like to talk with you as well. And I also would like to know, is there something you've learned about yourself over the years, something about the holidays that you know is what really makes you happy, and you know that you should do that every year instead of trying to go against the tide? Now, if it's making cookies and going crazy, if going crazy is what makes you happy in a kind of a weird way, then that's fine. Or if shopping, for some people, they like to shop.
That's right.
And it's not just they're a shopaholic. They love to shop. They love to buy the gifts to give the people.
Well, it's a way of saying, I understand what you like. I really put some thought into this. And so that really drives people. Other people don't like it. That's why I'd love to hear from listeners, because it's such an individual thing.
Right.
I talked last night with my daughter-in-law. You talk about people who likes to bake cookies. Shelly in Arizona has baked 20 boxes, Tupperware boxes full of different cookies. She absolutely loves it. And I said, but Shelly, baking cookies to me is just the hardest thing in the world, because you have to do each thing individually. Mm-hmm. You're standing forever. And she said, you know, you can buy cake mixes. Go online. There are recipes where you just use the cake mix and throw it in and simplify it, and they're really just as good as mine.
And I don't do it in my 4-inch heels anymore either.
You don't? I don't do anything in my 4-inch heels. And where are my 4-inch heels?
I don't know where mine are either, as a matter of fact, now that you mention it. But I do like to bake cookies. It's a lot of fun for me. But sometimes, no matter what we like to do, we have to learn what to give up because we can't do it anymore.
Yeah, if you want to say yes, you have to say no to something, usually. And so when we're thinking of the things we're going to say yes to, we also need to think about things we're willing to say no to make it more pleasant when we're doing pleasant things. Talking with family members about what's really important to them, too, I think is important. Sometimes we make assumptions that this is really important to the family. Maybe it really isn't. And we might be able to reach some middle ground about expectations.
Sometimes it's just a matter of asking, isn't it?
I think it is. And really listening to what someone else's needs are. We're really quick to say what ours are, but sometimes we don't listen. So inviting those comments ahead of time and then kind of leveling the expectations can be important.
If you're listening to us online, then it would be a hop, skip, and a jump away from Facebook. So you can go to the Allsides with Ann Fisser Facebook page and post your comment there if you want. Or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org or call us at 614-292-8513. Now, I liked you were going to pick up a prescription the other day, and they said you'd have to wait because everyone's going to get the prescriptions at Christmas time. And you said no problem. You busied yourself with finding the perfect stocking stuffers at your local pharmacy. Really, pharmacies are the perfect stocking
they
stuffer
are.
Location.
They're great. Except I got derailed by the scene on TV display.
Right.
Because I have this thing. I know these things are here only for a limited time, right? They're just going to sell out like hotcakes.
Until they go on 75% off about a month down the road. But
yeah, what will I do with without the number one bestseller, the Shake Weight, which I think it's really interesting that the Shake Weight for women is number one, and the Shake Weight for men is only about number 10. And what the Shake Weight is, it's this canister thing that you hold. It's a weight, and it comes with an instruction CD, and you shake it enough that your arms are no longer flabby.
Does it have a little shaky sound?
I haven't bought it yet, but you know, with my family maybe listening out there, I'm afraid I might have to.
It sounded like maracas or something. I could probably get into it for a little while.
That's right. There is also the Batter Pro. Have you seen the Batter Pro?
Like, as in cake batter? Pro?
Well, this is for people who like to dip everything in batter and fry it, like the Twinkie thing, you know, in pickles. And it says you can batter anything in less than 10 seconds. So I didn't know I needed one, but I started thinking, you know, but then I'd have to get a deep fryer. I don't know if this would really work. And there is the Big City Slider Station. And I think White Castle is in trouble with this.
Competition.
That's right. Because you no longer have to make those tiny little burgers that we were all making with a fry pan. Now you can just press them in this thing and bake them, and somehow your sliders are all done.
Do they kind of steam them and stuff
I don't know. I haven't bought that either.
That's right. You left with a bottle of eye drops?
Yeah, I know. How boring is that?
But then there was the neck slimmer.
Yeah, the neck slimmer.
And I thought that was interesting. You said maybe you'd send your daughter in.
Yeah, I can't go in and pick it up myself because they'd be looking at my neck. How embarrassing is that? Or I'd have to wear a giant turtleneck.
It's like when I used to buy Halloween candy. I'd say, it's for the children.
Yes, yeah. Right.
Of course it is. What else?
Oh, there's the Big Top Donut. You know, last year it was the cupcake.
Yeah.
The theory at Christmas, and I don't think this is true, is that bigger is better. You know, bigger is really less is more. But the Big Top Donut is a silicone pan that you could make a donut-like creature and put sprinkles and stuff on it because everyone has always wanted a giant donut.
I would imagine that there's some people they give these gifts every year.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps.
And some people who expect to get these gifts every year.
You know, I just thought of something. This will be a stress reliever for me. If I didn't get it during the holiday season, if I wait till spring, it may have made it to the garage sale circuit. So that it may come up again.
It has to go somewhere.
Yeah. That's right.
I was really offended when I got a Chia pet back. And not only did they re-gift it to me, but it's it was the donkey from Shrek, and the ear had broken off.
Oh, my.
So
they didn't even take
wrong.
Good care of it.
It probably was broken when I gave it to him.
Maybe that's why you got it back.
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about coping with the holidays. Whatever your holiday is, we'll try to help you cope with it right now. My guest is Pat Snyder, Suburban News Publications syndicated columnist. The name of her column is called The Balanced Life. Do you think that you ever, Pat, really achieve balance, or is it the process of seeking it that's what it's all about?
I think it's about the journey, and it's really also it's the way you define balance. You know,
maybe
what
that
is
changes.
Balance? It may change over time. I think for me, balance is feeling like what I'm doing is in line with my values. Then I'm balanced. There's another way of looking at it, which is life is a wheel, and you look at all these different components, and if everything is completely given the same priority, then things are in balance. I don't think we ever really achieve that. But I do think if we can achieve having our activities in line with our values, then we do feel balanced. And that's the definition I choose. And I really think for the holidays, that's a great way of looking at it. Because we can look at what we really want to get out of the holidays, what's special to us, and then plan our activities that way.
Yesterday, I had a big change of plans, and I thought that I was doing good and really happy when I didn't, you know, when I didn't see it as some kind of way of being cheated out of something. It was just a change, and it was okay, and you just kind of go with the roller coaster and not try to, certainly not jump off at the top.
Yeah, I think holidays are emotional times anyway, and then when we have shifts, and ups and downs and losses during the holidays, it makes it especially challenging. And being able to just kind of go into the moment and be there instead of trying to hold on to some vision of what things should be, the better off we are.
Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to calls, 614-292-8513, if you like that mode of communication, or we can take your emails at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides on WOSU 820 NPR News.
On Talk of the Nation, we like to be clear about what we're talking about, whether it's movies.
A B-movie was a movie that was made specifically to be on the bottom half of a double feature.
Or the auto industry.
One mid-level executive at a top automaker told me, well, 30 years ago, we were a car company that would occasionally lend money to our customers, and now we're a bank that makes cars.
Talk of the Nation. Clear, straight, open. From NPR News.
Talk of the Nation begins this afternoon at 2 with author Bob Woodward and Ted Koppel talking about the internal debate in the White House and U.S. policy in Afghanistan and Iraq. Join us for Talk of the Nation at 2.
Support for WOSU comes from the Physicians Free Clinic and Voluntary Care Network, providing charity medical care for Central Ohio's uninsured patients. More about joining the Columbus Medical Association Foundation and supporting the clinic is at goodhealthcolumbus.org.
16 degrees in downtown Columbus, scattered flurries today, and a high of 19. All Sides continues on to WOSU 820.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest is Pat Snyder, Suburban News Publications syndicated columnist and also author of the book, The Dog Ate My Planner. I have an email now from Carol, and after that I'm going to read from another email we received over the weekend. But on the same topic. From Carol, she writes, one of the fun parts about the holidays for me has always been the traditions, ones that come from my very early years that we try to maintain every year. But as families change, children get married and expand their families, keeping traditions can be difficult and cause stress for those who want things to stay the same or even insist everybody go along by saying, but we've always done it this way. I find that if you can roll with the changes, you can have fun in new ways, have an enriched holiday, and even establish new traditions. How have you had to change your holidays over the years? Good question, isn't it, Pat?
That's a great question, and I bet there's not a person listening out there who hasn't had to make some adjustments. I'd love to hear from them. I can offer one small one myself.
Okay.
I've gone from having a number of kids at home to being there by myself. And so I decided, you know, what am I going to do on this Christmas tree thing? Because it's really kind of a hassle to go. I was commandeering my son to go help me haul a tree in, which he was willing to do. But then you have to dispose of the tree and so forth. So I went online and got one of these things called the quarter tree, which is only a quarter of a Christmas tree, and you stick it, it's like a wedge.
Uh-huh.
It's really light. It only takes a quarter of the ornaments, and it's all pre-lit. And so for me, I have this illusion of having a tree, but I don't have to do any of that work. And so it's enough to satisfy my kids, because I'll put some pine roping. Then you get the fragrance, but I don't have to ask them to come over and help me to get something up, which I think is just better. And you just have to, I think what makes you happy over the years changes. And for me right now, that really makes me happy. So that's just one very small example of a simple adjustment. There are lots of complex ones that come up with families.
And you're just willing to let go of some of it to...
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
This was a letting go example.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about you?
Oh, I just love Christmas ornaments. How have I changed? Christmas cards are a big thing that I've changed, mm-hmm. although I really want to get them out because I keep collecting the How Tall This Fall pictures every year of my son.
Oh, I love that. How tall
while,
this fall?
And there are some original recipients out there who say they saved it every year and love seeing it. I've kept having the picture taken every year, but I don't get them out. And that kind of makes me sad because I know how much I love to get cards.
Sure.
So I'm going to really try this year. And heaven knows I've bought new Christmas cards every year. I just haven't sent them out. So let's hear from Charlotte, though. Charlotte sent us an email over the weekend after she listened to the story about the Christmas cookies traditions last week, and she talks about the last Christmas she spent with her mother, who had to retire young with diabetes and heart trouble at the age of 63, and she didn't have a lot of money when she retired. She worked, you know, all of her life for the government, left with a government pension, but wasn't enough and was pretty much on food stamps by the end, but at least she finally had Medicare, Charlotte notes, and then... So she says, so I visited my mother in her Chicago public housing apartment at 1414 North Damon Avenue for our last Christmas together. But what to do about the food budget, mom's diabetes, and all the holiday sugar and fats? I ended up cooking a big pot of bean soup. We prefer Great Northerns over navy beans, chock full of veggies, bits of ham, and some good kielbasa from a first-rate deli we had splurged on. Then I baked a big challah, a sour cream yeast coffee cake, both recipes by James Beard, and chopped up the remaining fresh veggies as a crisp side dish to accompany a nice fresh cucumber salad. In keeping with Polish-American tradition and fiscal necessity, there was one bottle of good whiskey in the house to offer guests a shot to ward off the winter cold, not the three bottles my grandmother had kept in her house, one bottle each, bourbon, scotch, and brandy. All through Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and December 26th, anybody who dropped by from all the rich food, who dropped by from all the rich feasting got a bowl of piping hot soup, fresh bread, fresh salad, a slice of homemade bread, and a shot of good booze. If it was too early for soup, etc., they got a slice of coffee cake and hot coffee to wash down that shot of good whiskey. You'd be astonished at how many people responded with, thank goodness for something solid in this cold. I don't think I could manage another sweet. I don't believe that they were just being polite to spare my mother's feelings because every bowl came back empty. And there were requests for seconds and even thirds. And my mom had time to visit with her guests instead of running around the kitchen like a madwoman. That menu has become my personal Christmas tradition. I've expanded the menu to include a Waldorf salad and have substituted Norwegian whole wheat rye bread for the challah to placate the Cleveland Clinic types.
Mm-hmm.
Friends and even relatives are welcome to drop by and visit on those days when I'm not working on the phone upstairs. Working on Christmas Eve and Christmas Days is the gift I give coworkers with children and grandchildren so that they can spend the holiday with their loved ones. For their part, the cats are happy to get their tinned pink salmon or a batch of plain poached chicken livers any day. The holiday goodies are as alluring as they ever were, but I don't want to end up on an insulin needle, digitalis, and nitroglycerin like my mother. And making yourself crazy with unnecessary holiday stress just doesn't square with the real reason for the season. There already are enough real problems in life.
What a wonderful letter. I want to know where she's serving that soup.
I know. Charlotte never hands out her address. No, she was very free with the old Chicago address that probably doesn't even exist anymore. We don't know where Charlotte lives,
oh,
but
come
we
on,
love
Charlotte.
It when Charlotte writes.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's a wonderful message. And I think it's true that when you establish new traditions, it can be really refreshing. It comes up with step families, for example, new step family. I think it's really important to have new traditions there when kids are moving away from home and maybe they become the center of the holiday dinner. Sometimes parents being able to let go is really important.
614-292-8513. How have you had to change your holidays over the years to make them still special but reflect the life you live today? There is a cake pan that makes giant Oreo cookies. Just to dwell on that other topic just one more time. What in heaven's name?
Well, it's got the, because it's silicone, I guess it picks up all the little the decorative ins and outs on an Oreo, and so you just put your cake mix in there and pop it out. I actually gave that as a gift, I have to confess. I gave it to a cousin who's 11 for Hanukkah, and
oh,
she was quite pleased.
Good.
Yes, she was pleased, and you have to make some kind of stuff to go in the middle that's
sort
of like the frosting.
I see a picture of it now on the internet, and
yes.
Amy Jurovich, associate producer, hot on that one.
Yay.
614-292-8513 if you want to join the conversation. Let's talk about is it Feng Shui?
Yeah.
The Feng Shui party. I mentioned it in my intro or at the top of the hour. Who goes to a Feng Shui party? And what kind of woman goes to a Feng Shui party and comes home with more stuff than she started out with?
Well,
it sounds like a white elephant party.
Yeah.
Is it a new highfalutin term for white elephant?
Well, it was kind of it was interesting because the Feng Shui consultant who came into my house to Feng Shui it not too long after my husband had died was throwing the party, and I think there were a lot of her clients there. But she herself had Feng Shui'd her home, and it was just wonderful. Her name's Laura Hausman. She even has some heater cords under her kitchen floor so you could walk barefoot and it's warm. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, it's
I don't
very
personally
cool.
enjoy it every day, but I've been in homes where they have it. It's really nice.
Anyway, she did have giveaways, and I thought it was ironic that people declined to take home books on feng shui because they were so into simplifying their lives that they got everything from the library.
What did you get, though? You did not. You,
oh,
you took
no,
everything
of course
you
I
could
did.
Get. You thought that was so odd because you didn't do that.
No, I didn't do that at all. Well, for example, and I was just stunned no one took it. What we did, everybody brought something first to share that was a loved item. Something maybe that had been in the family, not to give away, but just to show this is the sort of thing I want to keep in my home when I'm going through all my other junk and getting rid of it. And then something that we had that we would be happy to give away. And I brought both of those things. But then anything you wanted to give away, you were allowed to put on a card table, and any of the rest of us could take. Well, there was a Hummel figurine there. I mean, I'm not going to walk away from a Hummel. That's right. And you know it was right on eBay to see how much it was worth when I got home. Uh-huh. It was really cute. And I have a Hummel collection, so I have some justification.
Uh-huh.
I got that. And then I got some program for putting up your own website in some sort of computer language that I concluded after I tried it I really didn't have. So I'll be probably passing that along at the next gift exchange for someone else.
I went to an ornament exchange, which is just a reason for some neighbor ladies to get together and have a party at Christmas time. But someone said they really didn't like these things, and she admitted it at the ornament. In fact, she didn't even bring an ornament. She just came to hang out with us. And then someone else said, you know, maybe we ought to bring ornaments we don't really like anymore.
Uh-huh.
Or we're tired of, we don't really use.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, that is a really great idea, too.
Sure.
Just another way to do it. Just change up the tradition, because this ornament exchange thing has gotten to be a tradition, but I don't probably really don't need any more ornaments anymore.
Sure. So did you do it that way, or
no,
you're just thinking about it?
That. Hopefully we'll remember to do that next year.
It would probably be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting, the ornaments that you choose with a quarter tree. You know, I've got tons of ornaments that can't go on it.
Pat, would you like to go next year?
Oh, I could donate enough for a whole neighborhood. But I think it's very telling which ornaments you treasure so much that you want to display on your tree. And I found that they were not the most beautiful ornaments at all. They were things my kids had made.
Right.
They were. Every year I hang up two construction paper rings from a huge chain that my oldest one made when he was probably five. And I can still see him sitting there carefully drawing on the construction paper strips with his tongue kind of out, you know, the way kids do when they're really concentrating. And I just treasure those, which unfortunately are not wrapped in archival paper and look rattier and rattier every year.
Yeah. Some of when my kid was little, they started to do the plastic. What am I trying to think of? The covering on things. They would shield it with plastic.
Oh, laminate.
Laminated. Thank
yes.
you. That's a word. So things are a little bit better shape, I think, than they might have been from, you know, even 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Had we only done that, darn.
The lamination machine. I mean, no, someone's got to start giving that credit for saving, you know, society. Norma, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
My mom's 84 now, and it's been going on for a number of years. Her favorite thing about the holidays is getting all her Christmas cards. She loves to receive them from other people, and she loves to send them with little notes.
Uh-huh.
But as she's aged, she had more and more difficulty doing that. So I made up a database for her address labels. That gives me, I know all my mother's friends and addresses. I keep track of them for her, and I've got that address thing, and I can make her labels for her. So she just puts them on the envelope. Then she writes up her rough draft of her letter, and I get it typed up for her, and she proofreads it. I mean, we really get into kind of working on this as a family project, and so she gets her letter. Now recently she found out that she can put a photo on it, and you can send it off. Yeah, so now we're putting
Are you watching us on television? Because we just kind of went, whoa.
So she has her letter, and it's all put together. She proofreads it for me and makes sure I spell everything right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's really nice that I keep more in contact with my mom's friends and stuff this way. She tells me about everything. She shows me letters that she receives. So it's a really nice thing that we get to do together. And she's still able to get all of her cards off, which, you know, she has a list of around 50 or so, and she really appreciates doing that.
That's a tribute to her that at 54 she has
84.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm mixing my numbers.
Yeah,
she has 50 friends that she stayed in touch with over the years.
She's always adding more and getting me the, you know, in the summertime she'll give me, oh, so-and-so changed his address. They just moved. I got to get this, so I have to track down something. I have to track down my niece's new address and whatnot. So we keep up on this, and it's mostly during the, you know, these November and December here we get moving on it a lot. But it's an important thing that she really likes doing still.
Well, good for you taking the time to do that, and I bet the interaction between the two of you working on it together is probably one of your favorite Christmas activities. Am I right?
Well, it is. It's an important family activity. I'm not Christian. I'm Muslim. But I really feel it's important to celebrate my mother's important times and to share this with her. And we keep track of all the family this way and all of her friends and make sure that we keep ties all over the place like this. And so it's really important to me, and I get a lot out of it as well as helping her out. Yeah.
Thanks, Norma.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Yeah, hope other people do that too. I'm sure they do.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. 614-292-8513. Welcome your ideas for how you've changed your traditions over the year and what some of your traditions are. Lisa, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Thanks. Hi, Pat. Lisa Neuberger.
Oh, hi, Lisa. How are you?
Pretty good. Great show. I just wanted to, I don't have a question, but I do have an experience that happened that as people are thinking about their holidays, I'm Jewish, and so Hanukkah changes each year as to when it falls, but I was cooking turkey. We were living in Chicago, and my new husband, Bruce, he had his 85-year-old grandmother over for dinner for our first night of Hanukkah. And, well, let's just say that the turkey wasn't completely cooked. It was a bit raw, was still pink and not too pretty inside. And so our challenge became having this elderly grandmother who, oh, no, Lisa, this is a great dinner, and who kept eating it. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, salmonella poison. We're going to be doing 911. This will be the Hanukkah that you will remember the rest of your life if you kick off your
if you live so long.
Grandma, as she lives so long. And so literally I was trying to pull the plate away from this woman who is this frail 80-pound-year-old waif who is gripping onto the plate, not allowing me to take it, thinking if we could just go out for pizza.
But she survived.
She survived, and actually we never did live down that horrible reputation of the fact that I don't know how to cook. And so one of the things that we've found, though, in our bigger family functions is sometimes just to not cook the dinner for a major holiday and, you know, to find those few restaurants that are open. Because then everyone's happy and we don't have an emergency room visit.
Yes. So. Well, that does take the pressure off.
Or at least you can't get blamed for it, Lisa.
Well, you know what? They said that I would have to learn how to cook when I got married. And I figured if I picked a man who went to college, he had to be in an apartment at some point, and he would have been learning how to feed himself.
Right. So that was good thinking.
It's a good strategy. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Lisa, for that inspiring.
And it kind of gets us into the cooking part of this holiday, which can be substantial, I think, especially when you have special diets involved and you're trying to cater to everyone's special needs. Can be great, great fun.
That is true.
Thank you, Lisa.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Thanks. I've done undercooked turkey before, haven't you, Pat?
Of course. You're supposed to be able to shake hands with it. It just will not shake. We had a new theory, though, this year at Thanksgiving. Someone said the thermometer would not kick up to the magic number. Mm-hmm. We stayed maybe 7 degrees below, and somebody said, oh, if you take it out of the roaster, it continues to cook for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that's true, but we didn't die either, so.
Yeah, well, you know, once you get to the pink, you stop eating.
That's
right.
Just go for that crusty skin on the outside.
Gosh. We're going to take another break. The time just flew by for me just now. My guest is Pat Snyder. She is Suburban News Publication syndicated columnist. The name of her column is called The Balanced Life. If you'd like to join us, join the conversation, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides on WOSU 820 NPR News.
For as little as $60 per year, you can support WOSU and get some great benefits, too. With a basic membership, you receive the WOSU member card, good for discounts at more than 200 area restaurants and attractions. You'll also receive a complimentary one-year subscription to Newsweek magazine, and you'll automatically receive our electronic airfare program guide and our e-newsletter. To support the programs you love, sign up for your basic membership for just $60 a year. Visit WOSU.org and click Donate Now.
This is WOSU 820 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, hour two of the program begins, and the American Film Institute named It's a Wonderful Life the most inspirational film of all time. We'll hear how director Frank Capra's movie became an American holiday classic. Join us for hour two of All Sides, beginning at 11, right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. It's 16 degrees in downtown Columbus at 10:40 this morning. Areas of blowing snow and scattered flurries throughout the day. Cloudy skies and a high of 19 degrees, but with the wind chill, it's going to feel as low as -3 at times. Some snow flurries tonight, clouds and a low of 10 degrees. For Tuesday, a few more snow flurries, cloudy skies, and a high of 21, but that wind chill is still going to make it feel like -2. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest is Pat Snyder, Suburban News Publication syndicated columnist. I made up that title for her column. It is not what I said it was. It is actually called Balancing Act.
That's close enough.
Sorry about that, Pat. Also, there's something you do that I always ask about because I'm always fascinated by it. And someday we'll have to go to one of these sessions. They're your laughter sessions.
Absolutely.
And you're dishing up some free laughter sessions in January. So tell us about what you do and where people can go for that.
Yeah, well, I'm a certified laughter leader with the World Laughter Tour. And January, when the weather is kind of yucko and the holidays are done, seemed like a perfect time to do some laughter sessions. So got some free sessions coming up two Fridays in January, the 14th and the 21st at 7 o'clock at the First Unitarian Universalist Church in West Weisheimer in Clintonville. So what we'll be doing is laughing a lot based on some exercises that we do. Really can be physical exercises, which is great, or if you're not really in a position to exercise, you can do them sitting down, just do hand motions or whatever. And we just get real silly and laugh at each other. And because laughter, as you know, is contagious, it's pretty hard not to keep laughing for the 30, 45 minutes that we're going. We'll learn the Laughter National Anthem, which I will not be singing today, and the Laughter Chant, and now we may even customize a few laughter exercises just for the session. But my theory is the holidays will be done, the bills will be rolling in, it will not be real sunny, and we need to laugh to get our mood adjusted.
614-292-8513 if you want to join the conversation, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Some people need to be sort of retaught how to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I like to laugh pretty much all the time. But so, do you find people who go to these sessions, do they tend to be people who are already going to laugh anyways, and they go just because they like to laugh, and they're like, hey, you get a chance to a free laugh? Or do people go that really need the help?
Well, you know, I think you have a mixture of people who come out. Some people come out of curiosity just because, what is this? You know, it sounds kind of weird. Other people maybe have a spouse who loves to laugh and really would like to have some partnership in that and might drag someone along with them. But usually it would be very unusual for somebody not to get in the spirit a little bit. We don't force anyone to do anything.
You have to laugh.
Absolutely not. You can just watch if you want to. It's just really, really hard to watch people laughing and not laugh. And it kind of dare you to be able to do that. So people get in the spirit to some extent. And the wonderful thing about the laughter is that it has physiological benefits. It lowers your stress level. It really lightens you up. And so it also can have some physical benefits just because you're, for some of these exercises, running around doing silly things like pretending you're a runaway lawnmower. I mean, it could be anything. So we get a mixture. I have seen women get into it a little quicker than men. But there are some men who have really enjoyed it as well. So everyone is welcome to test drive it.
And if we put your web address.
Yeah, I'll have an announcement on my web page.
Okay, and we'll post that at WOSU.org/allsides. Lance, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi, Lance.
Oh, yeah, so thank you.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I have a wrapping tip for my daughter. She's in a conservation mood, a greenhouse mood, and what we do is take the plastic shopping bags and we put our gifts in them. Before putting gifts in, we take a big pen and we print the name of the person on it, and then at the handle we just take some wrapping ribbon and wrap it around there and put it on the tree. And it looks rather decorative because you can take scraps, say, of wrapping paper and just tape them onto the bags.
Oh, that's great.
And it looks quite decorative, and they're all different, and it's a way of recycling at the same time and saving yourself a lot of trouble and expense of buying paper and so forth.
Thank you for sharing that. That's really an interesting tip. I think we've all had the experience of spending hours wrapping, and the procrastinators among us probably did it on Christmas Eve or into the wee hours of Christmas morning, and then, boom, all of it's unwrapped, and it's discouraging.
I just make everyone save their ribbon for next year, and I run around, and, I mean, you'd think I was putting one of those bridal bouquets together from a shower or something. But
you don't iron the wrapping paper, do you? My mother used to do
that. No, that would be my grandmother, and I actually still have ironed wrapping paper from my grandmother.
Do you really?
It has to be from the 50s or 60s or something like that. I don't know what to do with it, but, yeah, she was a saver.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, now I don't know what to do with it. Talk about having stuff.
I know. Well, you can always take a picture of it and then discard it. That's my desperation move.
That's a really great idea.
Sometimes that really helps. The oversized greeting cards kids have made over the years. Sometimes the ones that were duct taped together. Yeah, take a picture.
That's a really good idea. Lance, thanks for your idea.
You're welcome.
Take care. 614-292-8513. Or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. My guest is Pat Snyder, Suburban News Publication syndicated humor columnist. If you want to join the conversation, we're talking about traditions at Christmas time. What's a tradition for you? What's a new tradition? What traditions have you had to change over time? We have an email from Sharon, who is not going to change her tradition, I don't think. Her holiday tradition that she loves, I understand the love of baking cookies. I frosted 17 dozen cutout cookies yesterday. I make 7 different kinds of holiday cookies in a slow year, more when I have more time. Sharon, send us your phone number and your email, and I'll get you this cookie exchange I'm going to. You're our kind of person. Wow. I mean, she's just not giving up.
Well, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
Because she loves doing it.
Right.
And for the rest of us, I have another tip.
Mm-hmm.
You can go. You can go places that have kind of plain baked cookies, and if you dip them in dark chocolate, it looks like you made them. So that's another thing. And pretzel sticks, too. You can dip those in dark chocolate.
Yeah, we always get some dipped pretzel sticks at this thing. And someone else, the ornament party person, said she bought some cookies. She goes, I just love these cookies. I bought them at the store, though. She goes, I'm thinking of giving them the cookie exchange. I'm like, what? Well, great, but I'm not taking your dang cookies. Thanks for the tip. I drive slaved
all
over
day.
My...
That's true. That's kind of a problem.
You know, you had the sweetest little blog post. I just loved it. Question Anthony.
Oh.
I loved that. Tell us about Question Anthony, because I loved that little message there.
For a brief moment, I became a fiction writer. I've always told myself, I can't write fiction. I have no imagination. So I'm walking through Gaithersburg, Maryland, where I was staying with some relatives recently. And there on the sidewalk was, I thought it was chalk. I later heard it was spray painted.
It was a
this big thing that says, Question Anthony. And I'm thinking, who is Anthony? You know, is this a bullying problem? And what did Anthony do? And I just started coming up with all kinds of theories about Anthony and picturing what he was like and so forth. And I just, you know, my mind was going in a million places. And then my cousin, the one who got the giant Oreo cookie for Hanukkah.
Okay.
She said, Pat, it says question authority.
But the last paragraph, a little sadly, I said goodbye to this fictional character who had drawn me in. In my mind, he was already an illustration in a children's book,
yes.
Looking downcast, stubbing the toe of a brown Oxford shoe in the dirt, and a reminder that flights of fantasy can be the best sort of vacation from a linear world.
That's true.
Loved that.
Yeah, it was very refreshing.
And before I got to the end, I started thinking about, who is this Anthony kid? And what would I ask you? 614-292-8513. Bruce, you have a question. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. I was wondering if you had any interesting stories about a person that was in a bad mood and wanted to take issue with your group standing around laughing for no particular reason.
Any naysayers?
I haven't had that, actually. But I always invite people, if they're don't want to participate, to just watch, and that seems to be fine. You know, I always honor people's sensibilities. If they really don't want to be part of a laughter group, they don't have to be. But generally, I just haven't run into that. It's an interesting question.
Bruce, are you going to show up and be recalcitrant at one of the laughing sessions?
He's going to be there at the church, I'm afraid.
I remember as a child, some guy came up to me and said, "What's so funny?" You know, and I'm like, you know, okay, I guess I'll wipe that smile off my face, or else get, you know, pummeled. You know.
No, Bruce, you know, you really raise a good point. I'm glad you raised that, because sometimes as kids, we're just born with this innate desire to laugh. I think it's just given to us because it's so healthy, and it's a way of being in the world more joyfully. And somebody comes along and squelches that by saying, "Straighten up," or "Shush," and it can kind of kill that natural laughter. And one of the things the laughter tour does is say it's okay to have that. That's something really important. And so we kind of recreate the laughter. So especially if you felt squelched in laughing, you should come on down and enjoy life. No one will be a naysayer to you, I can promise that.
All right, otherwise I'll have some support.
Oh, yes. You'll absolutely have support.
All right, thanks a lot.
Good. Thanks, Bruce. 614-292-8513. We have a few more minutes left with Pat Snyder, Suburban News Publications syndicated columnist and humorist. We have an email from Paige. If you'd like to email us, allsides@wosu.org. Paige writes, "About 5 years ago, I added a solstice celebration to our holiday festivities. We take a night away from Christmas and instead focus on a quiet night of family and close friends. I make soup and a homey dessert. We light candles and play a family game, or more likely do a holiday-themed puzzle. I love the intentional slowdown, and truthfully, the solstice celebration is what I look forward to most. It's such a welcome break from the bustle. And as an added bonus, we tidy up enough for company on solstice that there's no frantic floor mopping in the wee hours of the 24th. So, killing me, Paige, when's solstice? Paige, you got to email us real quick here and tell us what solstice is.
Is it in January? I'm thinking.
Well, it says floor mopping in the wee hours of the 24th, so it must be sometime before Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I think. I don't know.
I don't know.
So, Paige?
Yeah.
All sides.
Somebody out there, help us out.
I'm sure we can just Google it.
Yes.
You know, someone will Google it. They're probably doing it right now, even as we speak. But
it sounds like a wonderful kind of celebration. And all-inclusive, really.
Yeah. It's got it all. Mm-hmm. And those long nights, that's the toughest thing about. I don't mind snow, and I don't mind. In fact, the snow at least reflects the light and makes it a little bit brighter when there's snow out. Mm-hmm. But the long days when I'm driving home at 4:30 in the afternoon and 5 o'clock, and I am lucky enough to be able to go home at that hour sometimes. It's dark already.
Sure,
that's what gets me down, because you leave and it's dark. You come back when it's dark. You know, so this is a way of celebrating that in a way.
It is,
and making the gloom not so bad, but like a party. Joy, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Anne.
Hi, Joy.
George Newman.
Hi.
Your friend. I just want to comment on Christmas wrapping.
Oh.
1 year I made cloth bags with the Christmas material prints on them, and they had a drawstring in them. So I would put the Christmas present in that, and they could take it home, and next year they could use it. It was also very nice for some of my friends who have arthritis and they can't wrap anymore.
Mm.
And I gave them some of these bags so they could use those for Christmas time. So that was one tip I had.
That's environmentally responsible, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, then you don't use all that paper,
mm-hmm.
you know. Another thing I did was I really like to wrap, and I think I do a pretty good job, and they're really pretty, and people say, ooh and ah, and I don't want to tear this up. Well, I took boxes. Like, we get a lot of Harry David boxes and stuff like that at Christmas
right.
time. They have wonderful boxes,
right.
very sturdy. And I would just cover the top of the box really pretty, and all they'd have to do is lift it up so they don't have to ruin the wrapping.
Yeah.
And they can also take it home and use it next year. So those are my comments.
All right.
That's
well,
really
thank you,
helpful.
Joy.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
Thanks. Jason called in to say that the solstice is December 21st, and I guess I knew that.
Thank you, Jason.
It's the winter solstice. That's it. That's what it is. It's the winter solstice, December 21st. Thank you, Jason, for that call. Pat, are you going to have a solstice party now or at least recognize that?
I don't think so because I have another party on the 20th for the Transition Network. That would not be. I think I have to say no to that. But if someone else is having a solstice party, it might be a really great place to go veg out.
I would be up for it.
I would.
We've run out of time. We only have a couple minutes left. But you did actually in your dog journal yesterday, you actually wrote about a dog.
I did. Yeah. Samantha.
Samantha is a boxer?
Samantha is kind of a number of different dogs.
We will give her a complex. We'll just
yeah, I wrote about Samantha. It's the picture of gratitude. She had lost her basement privileges for reasons that I will not disclose.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just so wonderful. And I had my cousin take a picture of her. She finally had her privileges reinstated, and she sprawled out on a beanbag chair in the basement, and she looked so happy. She was so
she's
grateful.
With the gang.
And yeah, she's back in with everybody else, and she's now on my desk just to remind
in
me
a picture frame.
Important, yes.
Yeah, frame.
The importance of gratitude. She's not on my desk.
That's all the time we have. Pat Snyder, thanks for joining us again just in time for the holidays.
Thank you. It was great being here. And just a reminder, if you feel stressed, Debbie Phillips, who was on last week, always says you have all the time you need to do all you have to do. Just say that mantra over and over,
okay,
and it'll get you there.
That's all the time we have right now, though, with Pat Snyder, syndicated columnist for Suburban News Publications. Thanks for joining us again, and thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.